Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
Thank you for joining us as we look into the Word of God together. Last time, in Mark 3, we looked at what it means to lead well. In today's lesson, we have the scribes giving us an example of not leading well. They attribute the works of Jesus to demons. This is the passage many are confused with as Jesus talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the sin which cannot be forgiven. Please turn to Mark 3 and follow along as we dig into this amazing story.
When God created us as human beings, He made us in His image and likeness. He also designed us for fellowship with Him. But when sin entered the world and came into the human family, there was a division. There was a separation that happened. Satan attacked Adam and Eve at the very foundation of life. That was their heart. By an act of their will, they chose to surrender to the idolatry of self. You remember, God had commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because they were made in God's image, they were moral beings. They had the ability to choose. What they did was they elevated their physical desires and their intellect, their mind, above God's command. By their actions, they said, "We know better." And so as a result, death and division entered the human family, and that first couple became a house divided. As we continue our study in Mark's Gospel, we see evidence of this division in Jesus' biological family as well as in His religious family. And the characters that we see in this text, their choices are so much like the choices that you and I face today. So I want you to listen carefully as I read Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. And as I'm reading, I urge you to try to pick out the statements that reflect the consequences of a house divided. Here's the scripture. "Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when His own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of Him, for they said, 'He is out of His mind.' And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons He casts out demons.' So He called them to Himself and said to them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rises up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came, and they were standing outside. So they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside, seeking you.' But he answered them, saying, 'Who is my mother or my brothers?' And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him, and he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" This portion of Scripture vividly records several statements that show us the dire consequences of a divided house. The first statement I want us to focus on is this one. They said, "He is out of his mind." Now, the verses just before our text describe how Jesus chose the 12 on a remote mountain in the region of Galilee. And when he came home to Capernaum, there was a large crowd that immediately gathered, so large that Jesus and his disciples couldn't rest, they couldn't eat, or apparently Jesus couldn't even teach. And so when Jesus' friends heard about his predicament, they set out to rescue him. They were willing to use force if that were needed. They saw his situation as being completely out of control. In fact, they concluded, "He is out of his mind." In other words, he has lost touch with reality. Now, you know something? It's acceptable, even in the church, to be religious. But to be fully committed to Jesus is something that's often considered fanatical, even dangerous. You too may be labeled as being out of your mind. And then we move to the next statement. They said, he has a demon. That was the Pharisees, the men from Jerusalem. They were part of Jesus' religious community. They were Jews. And they said of him, he has Beelzebub. Beelzebub was the chief god of the Philistine city of Ekron. And not only did they malign Jesus' name, but they also accused him of casting out demons by the prince of demons. So what did Jesus do? He called the scribes together, and he pointed out the obvious flaws in their logic. He asked this question, how can Satan cast out Satan? Let's think about Satan for a moment. His focus is on himself. That's what got him evicted from heaven. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. And so Satan isn't going to do anything that jeopardizes his power. Jesus goes on to point out the falseness of their accusation in rapid succession. He says a kingdom or a household that is divided against itself can't stand. And if Satan rises up against himself and he's divided, then he cannot stand. His kingdom is going to come to an end. Jesus went on. He said a thief can only enter a strong man's house if he first ties up the strong man and renders him helpless. And then he can do whatever he wants. He can take whatever he wants. You know, Satan regards the souls of human beings as his goods. He's a strong man. Jesus came to bind him and to plunder his kingdom. The scribes accused Jesus of having a demon and of casting out demons by the prince of demons. That's kind of absurd on the face of it when you think about it. This was the setting for Jesus' teaching about what is often called the unpardonable sin, the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But before Jesus teaches on that possibility, he reminds the scribes that God can forgive all sinful behavior and whatever blasphemies they might speak. Going further, Jesus warns the scribes that they are nearing the edge of a dangerous cliff. If they cross that line, it will have eternal consequences. He said, anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven because he is guilty of eternal sin. Since the sin is infinite, forgiveness is impossible. Hardened, permanent unbelief, joined with a malicious hatred of the only means of forgiveness, is unforgivable. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is specifically attributing the power and the work of God to the enemy, to Satan, and that's what these men were doing. Now, I have met people today who fear that they've committed the unpardonable sin. And when people fear that they have committed the unpardonable sin, it proves to me that they haven't. How can that be? Well, I believe if they would have committed that sin, there would be no remorse. There would be no desire for repentance. They have no wish for forgiveness, and they persist in their hatred toward God. I also understand that this unpardonable sin, as we refer to it, and as Jesus referred to it here, is not something that one does in a moment of anger. It's not something impulsive. It's the culmination of a long course of self-hardening and depravity. Because those who have a genuine desire to walk by the grace of God and obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to fear committing this sin. In this text, Jesus points out the absurdity of the scribes' argument. If he were casting out demons by the prince of demons, then Satan's house would be divided and it would quickly disappear. Instead, Jesus was casting out demons by the power of God. And that was clear evidence that the kingdom of God was present in the person of Jesus Christ. And then the final statement I want us to look at in this text is, this is my family. So now, Jesus' mother and his brothers appear on the scene. And they couldn't get through the crowd because it was too dense. And so they called out to him. The crowd became the messenger. They relayed the message from Jesus' family to Jesus. And when Jesus got the message, he asked this question, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And you know, then he looked over the crowd, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, because whoever does the will of God, this one is my brother, my sister, and my mother." What was Jesus doing? He was making a distinction between his biological family and his spiritual family. And the spiritual family, according to Jesus' words and actions, takes precedence over the natural family, the biological family. And I know that's difficult for us. We have family loyalties, and depending on our culture, the pressure from the family, the influence of the family is tremendous. These words that Jesus spoke were revolutionary in his culture, because loyalty to one's family and community was of the greatest importance. And yet, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, let's not stumble over the word hate that Jesus used, but let's not minimize it either. It's a strong word. Jesus isn't commanding us to hate father or mother in the sense of bearing malice or ill will toward them, because that would be contrary to other portions of Scripture. In our text, Jesus states that those who do the will of God are truly part of his family, rather than those who merely claim to be a part of his family. You may remember that Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." That's Matthew 7:21. And 1 John 2:3-4 tell us this, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So a house can be divided in different ways. Some ways are destructive, while others are life-giving. Some of you faced opposition and rejection when you decided to follow Jesus. You were ridiculed and harassed. Maybe you were even told, "You're out of your mind." If so, you would do well to understand what Jesus is teaching in this passage. It should be a comfort to you. Is your house divided? If so, in what way? No one can pay you any greater compliment than to have Jesus say about you, "You are my family." Would Jesus say that about you?
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching. What extremes in this lesson? Some thought Jesus was out of his mind, others credited his work to demons, and some he called family. I especially appreciate J. Mark's explanation on blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, or the unpardonable sin. The reason it is unpardonable is because the one committing this sin will not come to Jesus for forgiveness. This eliminates the choice for life from the person saying this. So sad. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to contact us, you can reach us by email. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. There, go to the Partner tab at the top. Under this tab, you will see Contact Us. From there, you can message us directly. Please, contact us with the method that is easiest for you. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks so much for being with us for today's lesson. We'll end with a question that is similar to the one you just heard. The last verse in our lesson was, "For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." Are you living in such a way that Jesus will say you are his family?